right then, John, J2 in the rear view mirror. Let's head on down to J3, where we only have one team with a 100% record now, because that team is Blaublitz Akita. I nearly said something else then that would have been wrong. but yeah, Akita beats Nagano Parcero at the weekend. They kept a clean sheet, which is the norm for them now. And yeah, they cut it fine. I think the winner came in the first half. Ken Hisadomi's cross was headed in by who's it? Shoma Kamata, I think.
Kamata, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. But for a team that was top of the league, I mean, they were under some heavy pressure in this game. I think Nagano threw a lot at them. I don't remember Yudai Tanaka making many kind of like outstanding saves, but there was a lot of good defending, a lot of good blocking, a lot of good organizational things. And it's not hard to see why Akita are top of the league and are yet to concede a goal, is it?
No, not at all. And I think if you're a FC Ryukyu manager, Yasuo Higuchi, you probably want to sit the players down and make them watch Akita's defending in the second half of this game, especially when Nagano pretty much threw the kitchen sink at Akita. But I think you hit the nail on the head. You didn't see the goalkeeper having to make too many saves. Extremely well organised at the back. Everybody knows what they're doing. So, yeah, 5 wins out of 5. 10 goals scored and none conceded. I mean, you mentioned racking up the points when we talked about Nagasaki in the J2 wrap-up. I think Akita are doing the same thing, aren't they? Yeah, so I think they were not at their best, especially in the second half, as I mentioned, where they had to weather some pretty heavy pressure. But I sense they were probably tired from the midweek round as well. And I think they concentrated on just making sure they eked out the 1-0 win. But yeah, their game management's very impressive. And you can't say that about every team at the J3 level. So fair play.
Yeah, I think something that is becoming apparent to me is that the East block of J3 is weaker than the West block of J3. So in my opinion, only the views of Stuart Smith don't represent the views of the J-Talk podcast as a whole, but I think Akita have had it easy so far, is my very personal opinion. I think they've had, who have they played? Iwate, Fukushima, Hachinohe, Toyama, and now Nagano. And I think like once they come up against teams from the West, once they come up against Kumamoto, Kagoshima, Gifu, Tottori, who are in second place now, Fujieda, I think that they'll start to kind of, Akita are a good side. There's no getting around that, and there's no denying that. But I think the schedule has been pretty sweet for them so far, and I'll be interested to see if they'll be able to carry on when they come up against kind of teams that they haven't had to face so far. So I mean, that's going to come sometime along the way. But that's just from my kind of viewpoint at the moment. I think the Western teams are better than the Eastern teams. I don't know.
You want to bring back the All-Star game, don't you?
Yeah. Absolutely, I do. Blaublitz Akita top. They've got 100% record. There was another team that went into the weekend with a 100% record, John. They were Ruasa Kumamoto, but they were turned over at FC Gifu. This game was painful to watch for about 70 minutes. No, 65 minutes, because it was all Kumamoto. Gifu were really appalling, if I'm being completely honest. Kumamoto had all the possession. They looked the more likely to score. But then Gifu made a triple sub, and the kind of the combined efforts of Ryoichi Maeda, Kensei Nakashima and Toma Murata kind of changed the game for Gifu. And in the end, there only looked like one team was going to win it, and it was Gifu. But they waited until the 88th minute to get the win. Shota Kawanishi had a shot saved by Keita Chiyama in the Russell goal, but Yushi Nagashima was on hand to score his first goal in 1 year and 2 months since he scored the winner against FC Ryukyu last year. Gifu really needed this, John, I'm not going to lie, because they were pretty shite in the defeat at Cerezo Osaka under-23s at the previous midweek. But I think it just got, like, more for the fact that I know there's some good players in Gifu, and I know on their day they are probably one of the top two teams in this division. But so far, I hadn't really seen it, so I was beginning to doubt my critical eye and my analysis. But I know there's a good team within this Gifu squad. I think maybe, hopefully, this will give them the impetus to carry on and actually do it on a regular basis. But looking at this game as a neutral, what did you, obviously you've watched the highlights and whatnot, so what do you think of it?
Sure, yeah, I think this game was heading for a 0-0 draw from what I could see. Until that late winner for Gifu. I think you're right that the substitutions turned it in Gifu's favour. What I wanted to mention about the goal, I know Yushi Nagashima scored it, but the control from Shota Kawanishi on that long ball, the first touch was as good as anything I saw over the weekend. I think Fabio's chesting down in the penalty area for Niigata is like my favourite first touch of the weekend, if we're doing that now. Favourite first touch,
yes,
of the weekend.
Yes, we are doing that now.
Kawanishi, yeah, perfect ball control to set up the chance. It's almost a shame he didn't score it himself, because that would have been a brilliant goal if he'd done that. And I was impressed or surprised by how wild the celebrations were from the Gifu bench, from the players. You mentioned that Gifu really needed that, and you know, fans often say that, but it's fans thinking that, not the players. But you could really see, I think before the game, they'd probably talked about how, like, look, we are one of the best two teams, probably, but we've not shown it yet. Mm. We have to knock off one of the top two teams for people to take us a bit more seriously. And they did that. I don't think it was pretty, especially for the first 85 minutes or so. but I don't think anyone of a Gifu persuasion will care too much. So I think what you said is very perceptive. I think in Gifu, there is the potential for a top two side to emerge. Mm. I don't think they're there yet. I still think, from what I've seen five rounds in, from what I've seen so far, I still think Kumamoto are probably a better side at the moment. Mm. And I think that's why the celebrations from Gifu were so full-throated at the end, because I think the players and the staff and probably most fans who'd watched that game felt, we have beaten a better team here.
Mm. Yeah,
at the moment.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, no, most definitely. Like there was, if that game had finished 0-0, I'd have said it was a barely deserved point, because Kumamoto were much better than Gifu for most of the game. But yeah, I mean, because obviously, looking a bit further ahead, Gainari Tottori are in second place, and Gifu have beaten Tottori now, and they've beaten Kumamoto now. So, you know, you look at the games that they that they have won, and it shows that they can beat the better teams in the division. They just need to get slightly more consistent. Well, because I didn't really pick Gainare Tottori to be in the top two, but they made it 4 wins from 5 and 3 in a row as they beat Kamatamari Sanaki 1-0 at the, it used to be called the Torigin Stadium, but it's got, what's it called now?
Axis Bird Stadium.
Axis Bird, yeah. Okay.
You're welcome.
As you do, yeah. The scoreline doesn't really tell the story of this game. Gainari Tottori won it with a goal just after half time that came from, is it Daisuke Sakai? I think it is. Is
that, yes.
Yeah. But it's after a great run from Mizuki Ando, who just come on as a sub. He slalomed his way through the Kamatamari defense before laying it off to Sakai, who did the rest. But the first half for Kamatamari Sanaki, how they didn't score. I mean, they hit the crossbar and then they had a ball cleared off the line 3 times in five or six seconds or something like that. That was an obscene period of play. That was, I mean, if ever you thought it was never going to be your day, then it was that passage, right?
Yeah, I think what I liked about that triple goal line clearance was the ball was cleared off the line by three different Tottery players. So the goalkeeper did it first, then one centre back, and I think the other centre back got in on the action as well. So it was like a sort of Laurel and Hardy type moment. Yeah, and you kind of get the sense as a fan, if you see that, you know it's not going to be your day, don't you?
Yeah, it was unfortunate because, well, coming to Marisaniki, a second bottom, they've only got 1 point from the first five games, but they played really well in that first half. There were positive signs for them, but yeah, it's Tottori who came away with the win. Yeah, they're second place at the moment. To go through some of the other games as well, Imabari picked up another good win. They beat Seretso Osaka under-23s 1-0 in Shikoku. I'm trying to think, who scored this? Who scored this goal? Oh, it was Masamichi Hayashi. That's the one, yeah. Scored a first half goal, which turned out to be the only goal of the game, despite the best efforts of returning hero An Jun-su, who took merely 50 seconds to get caught dribbling outside his own area and subsequently lobbed, only for a defender to clear it off the line. To be fair, An Jun-su, he made a few good saves in the second half as well, and he even popped up in additional time to try and score the equaliser, but unsurprisingly, he headed near the corner flag than the goal itself. But yeah, good on him for getting his name all over the match report, as we like to say. Another goalkeeper behaving badly was Kagoshima United's Shugo Onishi. His team won easily, actually. Kagoshima United beat Gamba Osaka under-23s 4-2. Shuto Nakahara, Ryo Hiraide, and Kenji Baba fair dues. It was a casually good volley. There was no effort behind it. He just like walked in, and it was only 6 yards out, but it's a clean strike, as you're going to see. Like going into injury time, Kagoshima United were winning 4-1, but it must be something with J3 goalkeepers. Like they get bored. So a ball comes into the box. Onishi decides to punch it. It's a really crap punch that just goes way up in the air. And instead of focusing on that, he just pulls Sol Toyama over to concede a penalty. And Toyama scores it, and it's 4-2. I'm just like, J3 goalkeepers, just calm down. There's no need to go nuts in injury time, because that's what Kumamoto's goalkeeper did, right, against Seretso. Just went nuts and scissor tackled someone in injury time when it didn't matter. I think they should just calm down. Kagoshima United won 4-2 away from home. I don't know if you saw YS Yokohama's win against Numazu John, but I think the highlight of this game for me was Yuki Stauff's shirt and tie combo. That was,
very sharp.
I mean, first of all, it's a shirt and tie combo in J3. You don't see that often. I think you will find that tracksuits or leisure wear are the predominant choices of coaches in J3. But Stauff rocked dark blue and light blue patterned shirt with a clean, crisp navy tie and Apple AirPods. We can brand mention, can't we? He looked pretty fly.
Can I come in on a couple of these games before we?
Before what? Only on fashion tips. That's what.
All right. Okay. Well, I was going to say, if you ever meet Stu and you're not sure it's him, just the trigger words you have to say: An Jun-su, or Kenji Baba, or Junior Barros, and just see how he reacts, and that you'll know if you're talking to the real Stuart Smith or not. On the Imabari game,
sure.
I think they're up to fifth now, so two wins in a row and two clean sheets, so it's all going swimmingly for them. And I think An Jun-su, he did make some good saves in the second half, as you said, so I think mystery solved for me. He's just a shot stopper, but he can't actually play football.
Yeah.
So
someone should tell him kind, that. Yeah.
Well, you were very kind. You said he got caught dribbling outside the edge of his area. I mean, he wasn't dribbling. He just stood there.
He was just standing there. Yeah. Yeah. Mm,
So he didn't even. He seemed to just be like, oh shit! Like, what do I do? So, So a good win for Ima Barry. I believe Tottori are hosting Ima Barry on Saturday night in the weekend games. That should be a really good match because I think we'll see two decent sides who are pretty good form and pretty confident coming together. From the Gamba Osaka game, under 23s, which they lost 4-2 at home to Kagoshima, as you said. I think if you're a nitpicker, the Kagoshima second goal, this Ryowa Hiraide's header, came from a corner. Keisuke Tanabe was the taker. The corner, the ball was outside the quadrant when the kick was taken. So, that shouldn't have been allowed. I noticed that. Kenji Baba volleying that third goal for Kagoshima, he didn't display that kind of dead-eye marksmanship at Gifu. Junior Barros also, I noticed, just slamming them in.
Well, this is the thing. When I watch J2 highlights now, like Barros is scoring and Koki Tsukagawa scored for Matsumoto at the weekend. He was on loan at Gifu last year. Kenji Baba has scored 3 goals this year, I think. He didn't score any last year. I'm just like, come on, fellas.
It's disappointing.
Let's call a spade here.
Just back on that game, at Shoji Toyama, he scored a pretty good solo goal going round the goalkeeper, Shogo Nishi, and then he won, in inverted commas, then scored the penalty. So he grabbed 2 goals for Gamba Osaka under 23s in this game. It's not the first time he's caught my eye this season, playing up front for the Gambas under 23 side. I think, knowing as we do that the under 23 team's not going to be in J3 next year, I would think the smart thing to do would be for someone to be on the phone already and say, would he like to come and play on loan for us next year up front? And I think even a Gifu or literally anybody in I think any team would benefit from having him on loan if they could. So I'd be amazed if those no inquiries have been made about his availability. For YSCC, I think you'll probably see that snappy Richard Yuki Stauff combo again, because they won for the first time this season against Numazu, and they got 2 penalties which enabled them to do it. They shuffled the pack a little bit, so the YSCC's captain Koichi Miao, he usually plays in midfield, but he was one of the back three. So they didn't change the formation, but they did change a couple of players. Akio Yoshida came into midfield in the position that Miao usually plays. But Numazu were well on top in the first half, as is the norm when teams play against YSCC, I think. And it only took 12 minutes for them to go in front. A long-range free kick hit the post. Nobody reacted at all, except the Numazu defender Tomoki Fujiseki. And then, the end of the first half, I think Shoma Otoizumi, which is a difficult name for me to pronounce at this stage of the evening, he was brought down by Masayuki Tokutake in the penalty area. And I think, I can't remember who scored the penalty for YSCC. But anyway, it went in. That's the important thing.
Was it Yuta Sato? Was it the cap? Oh, did he score?
He's a striker, number 11, the fridge. I've forgotten his name. But anyway.
No, not anyway. Miyamoto.
No, we're going to eat. Miyamoto, thank you. Yeah, yes. Is it Takuma?
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, Takuma Miyamoto. Okay, thank you, yes. And then 12 minutes from full time, I wanted your opinion on this, Stu. So Otoizumi, who'd won the first penalty, robbed the defender, got into the penalty area with the ball, and the Numazu goalkeeper, Yuya Nagasawa, who looks incredibly young, by the way, and probably is, came out to challenge him. And before the contact came, Otoizumi went down and the penalty was given. So I feel like had he not gone down, the goalkeeper was going to make contact with him anyway. So it probably would have been a penalty, but he did go down before the contact was made. So I don't know whether that technically makes it a dive. Anyway, penalty was given and Koichi Miao, the captain, tucked it away. And Otoizumi could have had a goal for himself later on, but missed, lofted a shot over the bar. And Makoto Fukuin should have really earned a point for Numazu right at the end, but somehow missed the target from close range. So a good win for YSCC. And what did you think of that second penalty incident? Yeah. Is it a penalty or...
I think it was a penalty, but at the same time, he made sure it was a penalty, and he made sure it was always going to be a penalty. I mean, goalkeepers just have to be smarter. They just have to be. Like, I think they... I think in the same way that defenders are starting to put their hands behind their backs when they're faced with a defender in the area, I think goalkeepers have to be a bit smarter about where they place their hands as well. Now, like, because if you're fully committed to the ball and you make your body as big as possible, that's all right if a shot's going on target, but the ball was angling kind of away from the goal, and I think a touch would have taken it kind of away from the goal with defenders covering. So I don't think the goalkeeper needed to make that challenge right there. I don't think he needed to be at full stretch and to give the kind of the forward the opportunity to get the penalty. I think goalkeepers maybe have to be a little bit smarter about how they approach those kind of situations, which is difficult because it's a split second decision, and obviously a goalkeeper's kind of first thrust is to go for the ball with their hands and whatnot. But I think that it was a needless penalty to give away, I think, in my opinion.
Fair enough.
Yeah, there you go. That's what the goalkeeper doctor says. Speaking about wrapping up, so we've got three more games to go. We'll just run through the results, really. So Sagamihara beat Vanrare Hachinohe at home on Saturday night. Romolo came off the bench to score the winner in that game. Fukushima United tamed the Tsugutoshi Oishi goal-scoring machine. They drew 1-1 at home to Fujieda. And the final game to cover is another grim defeat for Gruja Iwate Morioka, who did take the lead against Katari Toyama but ended up losing 4-1. That defeat leaves Gruja rooted to the bottom of the table. They've got a mightily impressive -11 goal difference from their first five games. Well done, former Japan Central defender Yutaka Akita. That's quite an achievement there. Like we said at the top earlier, Blaubitz Akita are top with 100% record. Tottori, Roasso, Kumamoto have 4 wins from their 5. And then come Sagamihara and FC Imabari. We've already mentioned the big games this weekend, John. I think there are two that really stand out. I think we've mentioned Tottori hosting Imabari, and I think this will be Akita's biggest test so far this year. They're away at Fujieda My FC, so we've got Oishi, and we've got Morishima, and we've got the freewheeling and free scoring Fujieda My FC juggernaut against the stingy and you shall not pass Yudai Tanaka and Akita defense. So I think those are the two kind of big games on the slate this weekend, John. That's a relatively easy call, right?
Yeah, I concur. I think you're right. Just if I can just double back to those that last sort of group of games that you mentioned.
Keep talking,
Stu. Mm-hmm. So Sagamihara have kind of stealthily sneaked into fourth place for me. I noticed that they're the only unbeaten side left, along with Akita. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Sagamihara not been that impressive so far, but they're in fourth and they haven't lost yet. For this game at home to Hachinohe that they won 2-1, they shuffled the forward line. So Yuri and Romulo were both on the bench. And Shohei Kiyohara and Kohei Mishima started up front. That's a pretty good second string to have in J3, I think. Mm. So they look quite stacked up front. For me, I also like the look of Eitaro Matsuda.
Yeah, he's good on the right hand side. Yeah,
So he set up the first goal for Masashi Wada, and then somebody called Victor, the Sagamihara goalkeeper, made some really good saves as well. But a really good strike from Keita Takami made it 1-1 just before half time. That's his second goal in 5 days because he scored in the midweek game at YSCC as well. And Sagamihara kind of had the better of the second half. And Romulo came on as a sub. Matsuda set him up Romulo for a shot, but it was saved. And Matsuda missed a sitter for the rebound. And then, Matsuda set up Romulo again midway through the second half. Romulo did score. The weekend game has Sagamihara hosting Iwate. So you would imagine Iwate's wait for a first win might go on a little bit longer. Sagamihara probably have too much for them at the weekend. Fukushima against Fujiedish, Stu, this game finished 1-1, but it had my kind of highlight and low light, really. It was the biggest contrast of something that was aesthetically pleasing and something which made me want to throw up. So Fukushima were in their pink summer kit, which was very nice, with the peach theme.
Mm-hmm.
But their pitch is in a terrible state. Really, I don't know whether that's down to heavy rain or what, but there's huge like chunks of it that just don't have any grass. I don't know what on earth happened there. I also know, for anyone who is new to DAZN highlights, you knew that you were in trouble here, because they were less than 5 minutes long for this game, and one of the highlights was a chance which was offside. So anyway, the Fujiedish goal is worth watching. Did you see this one where the one centre back for Fukushima, Makoto Kawanishi, he miscontrols the ball inside his own box, and then he falls over, and the other centre back who should be covering isn't, and also falls over, and Yasuhito Morishima just is like manages to stop laughing long enough to score. But the game turned really in the 65th minute. Morishima should have made it 2-0, but missed the target, and Fukushima broke downfield, and Hiroto Yukie controlled a long ball and slotted the ball past Fujiedish goalkeeper Takuya Sugimoto for 1-1. And Sugimoto did make a good save after that to deny Ismaila.
Mm.
So it finished 1-1 there. That was a pretty good end to a pretty rough match, I think. For Iwate, I think you've said what needed to be said. We should mention a couple of the goals from Toma Sho Hanai. His equaliser just before half time was a thumping strike. And I think Toyama's penalty after that, where they went 2-1 up, was another example where Hanae sent Hayato Otani clean through, but he also went down before the contact came from the goalkeeper, Tomoyuki Suzuki. So again, I think we're in the realms of, is it a dive if you know the contact's coming? Because it would have been a foul if a split second later. Anyway, penalty was given. Hayate Take made it 2-1. And then Hanae's second goal that made it 3-1 was a beautiful curling first-time shot, wasn't it, from the edge of the box? And that was with his right foot. The goal that he scored in the first half was his left. So really good performance from him. And Ten Miyagi made it 4-1 right at the death there. Iwate look like they're in big trouble, don't they? So
they do. Yeah. They look rudderless at the back, and
like me, Stu, still waiting for that Nova money.
And on that bombshell, so we covered everything this week, John. Well done to both of us here. We like to thank everybody who listens to the podcast, but also we'd like to thank the Patreons who donate their hard-earned money. I assume it's hard-earned. I mean, I don't know. they help us fund this, and we're incredibly thankful for the support. And we hope we are providing all the content that they need. John, if people wanna hit you up for fashion tips, where should they hit you up?
Jesus Christ, you should never do that. But if you've gone mad, at J2 Kanto Bites on Twitter is where you can ask for help. Should you wear a hat if it's sunny? Yes.
Yes, most definitely. If you need hat advice, by the way, at @sushi_football, I know what I'm talking about in that department. And I'd just like to say a big thank you to everyone who's been listening and who is listening throughout this J2 and J3 season. It's only going to get busier and more exciting, so we hope you'll stay with us. But in the meantime, we'll go for it, John.
Sorry, just a quick transfer market prediction league wrap up. I think Okinawa Aussie will be after me if I don't do this, if you don't mind. If you do want to join in with our kind of online prediction league, get in touch with at Okinawa Aussie or at Condry on Twitter. They can sort you out. For the J2 league, Sean Carroll is still the leader, but John Boy Steele is climbing up the table slowly. don't know who he is. Seems like he's doing good work there. Okinawa Ozzy, mirroring the performance of FC Riku, is struggling at the bottom. In J3, Stu, someone called the Gifu Sheriff, that must be Richie, is top dog.
Probably,
after picking up 40 points over the weekend. And I think Okinawa Ozzy also struggling in that section as well. For the J1 predictions, there's no real changes. Teammeister and Ichiro are tearing it up at the top, but there's a lot of the boys from the J-Talk pod moving up the table this week. The third highest points total was from the Gifu Sheriff again. Good week for whoever that is. Stu, and the JFL predictions, which basically were in the Wild West here. Okinawa Ozzy, who features heavily in this write-up written by Okinawa Ozzy, I have to say, he got 36 points, so well done to him. We're expecting that the JFL prediction league is just going to be hog wild, so I'm expecting a lot of fluctuation as crazy things happen there. Sorry to waylay you, but go ahead.
No, it's the perfect way to wrap up the pod. So thanks to everyone who's listened, and until we meet again next week after the shenanigans of another J2 and J3 weekend, please take care, enjoy your football, and we'll speak to you next week, but goodbye for now.